Amen. And we're reminded this evening that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. We know that to be certain and to be a fact. And as you're standing, we'd like to read a couple verses from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. We finished in verse 6 and verse 7 tonight, where we'll continue with the title, A Life Blessed by God. In Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." And so, Lord, as we're singing, precious Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, we're so grateful that we stand with humble hearts before you. Thank you for all you have done in our lives. Thank you for salvation and sustaining us and helping us each step of the way. Open our hearts now. We can receive your word gladly. There's things on everybody's mind as far as life and situations, and we pray that you'd clear our minds and open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we're singing these worship songs, and it's singing even in a sense of God making everything. And as we had our speaker on Sunday, what a marvelous time to be together. Everything from opening up the book of Genesis, talking about the creation of dinosaurs and other creatures and seeing visual concepts of that. And then astronomy was just fascinating, looking at that and seeing the greatness of God. And in our text today out of Proverbs, so we had a message on Sunday, but Proverbs, written probably around 3,000 years ago, it's speaking about the wisdom of God in creation, how he made everything. As we look here in our text tonight, and we're trying to really grasp what the Lord has to say to us, I'll make a comment I have said before. It takes the whole Bible to make a whole Christian to reach the whole world. So that's why we go through the Word of God. Proverbs right now, going through it, not picking and choosing, just going through it, letting the Word of God speak to us. On Sunday, we'll be in John's Gospel, continuing. After Lazarus was risen from the dead, you'd think people were rejoicing. They put a contract on Jesus with a plot to kill him. Then they had a celebration at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house to celebrate Lazarus as alive. And then they decided they wanted to kill Lazarus as well. So that's chapter 11, a little bit of chapter 12 on Sunday. Very worshipful text. We'll have communion as well. But we're looking here at our text, and we really want to experience as Christians the blessed life of knowing God. Now, we know him, and we have received salvation, and we thank God for that. And quite frankly, every one of us would be all ready to go be with Jesus today. I mean, we are ready. We're heaven bound. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're all set for heaven. But in God's choice and his design, he wants us to experience him here. We can't get any more saved than we are. But we do get sanctified, set apart. I know God's working in my life, set apart from the world, set apart for his purposes. That's what's going on. And he chose to use us to represent him. That's what he's chosen to reach the world. Be my disciples, follow me. So in doing that, we have the word of God, and it's got to teach us that. We had a marvelous time last night. We had the high school students over at our house, and I think there was probably 24 high school students that were there, and then some of the adults. Kim and Shane Wickers, they shared beautifully as they have been involved with youth for 27 years and continue to teach and coach. But it was interesting how they encouraged them, because they used some selected scriptures. One comes from what we just studied last week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. They use that. But one of the emphasis that Coach Shane talked about was, whatever you do, it comes out of Colossians, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly to the Lord. And I like the idea of what he communicated, because what he said to our young students, and it applies to us at any age. Many times when you're taking classes, you have no desire for the class. You already are protesting it because it doesn't look like it has any purpose to my life or to my future. And so you kind of can have an attitude about a class you don't like. I'll just get a C and get, you know, just get through it. And he wanted to correct that thinking. And he did it in a really great way with the wisdom of God, because the question was, how do you know that that won't be something that will apply to your life later? You don't really know that. Today, it doesn't seem like it. But it is something that the Lord will probably use, because he uses everything together for his purposes. And it was a great exhortation. And I think we're learning as we're going through tonight. And we see that verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3 about trusting and not leaning on our own understanding, but in everything we do acknowledge him, he'll lead us. And it takes us to verse 7. And in verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 3, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. So what he's saying in following verses 5 and 6, if I'm going to trust him, I need to lean upon him. And when I lean upon him, I cannot be wise in my own eyes. And we see this out all around. And certainly we would probably be guilty at some point in our life of thinking we knew something, but we really didn't. But we wanted to impress somebody as though we did. It's part of our fallen nature. But we see, because of the media, people that have titles in letters after their name, and they're reporting themselves to be wise, and you can see through, there's no wisdom there at all. I mean, it's absolutely what you're saying. There's no truth to what you're saying. Because as you follow the Lord, there's illumination to this world in which we live in. He shines a light on dark things, and we have seen it through COVID, and we continue to see that moving forward. When people want to control your life, then they're going to do whatever they can do to try to control your life. Present themselves to be wise, to be in the know, to be the all-knowing, all-knowledgeable one. It was foolish. We're talking about wisdom, and the other side is foolish. It's very foolish for a nation to put all of our trust behind one man when it came to making medical decisions. The man was Fauci, but to put all of your trust into that when you have a breadth of educated people that are doctors and just fantastic. All those were shut out, and basically he stated, if you offend me, you're offending science. And when you hear somebody say that, when you take objection to me, you're taking objection to science. It's just like, I'm so sorry, you're so shallow and insecure, because there's no wisdom in that. It's what the scriptures is saying, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what we have to depart from is things that feed our carnal nature, make us proud. We have to fear God. Lord, you're in control. You know everything. And then it says, if we do this in verse 8, it will bring healthiness to our flesh and strength to our bones. I think we all are acquainted with being sick or contending with sickness and things like that. But I believe that when we're struggling with things, when we're not trusting God, when our life is filled with fear and worry and anxiety, it takes a toll on our flesh. It takes a toll on our health. And he's telling us that we just need to trust. We go back to 5 and 6. I have no idea what's happening. I don't know the outcome. I'm not going to try to figure out. I'm not going to be the Google doctor and come up with my own thing. I'm going to trust you, God. I need your help. Bring whatever understanding that I need. Calm my heart, and it'll do well for our bodies. And number 9 of chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 9, It says, and again, he's taking Proverbs. It's not like an epistle or a gospel that you go through a chapter like we'll do on Sunday and looking at the event and the drama and all that. This is taking short sentences and verses and bringing forth biblical truth and wisdom to really minister to us. So he's saying in verse 9, and again, following through with when you're trusting God with all your heart, you're not going to lean on your own understanding. So we go to verse 7, and it says, so don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't lean on your own thinking. Trust God. And then he's going to get into some practical things. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And he's saying that everything, and it has to do with stewardship and lordship, but everything that we have has been given to us by the Lord. He's given us everything that we have. So J. Vernon McGee mentioned this, and I think it's very helpful. He's saying you're not really fully committed to the Lord until your wallet is committed to the Lord. And there's some real wisdom in that. In other words, Lord, I love you, I'm serving you, but in terms of possessions and having to do with finances, in terms of honoring you with what you've given to me, that's not surrendered to you. And the Lord would have us surrender everything to him, but that's a hard thing. You know, the Lord doesn't need your money at all. It's just a blessed privilege. I mean, when you look at the Old Testament, New Testament, obviously there's a sense of grace giving. Everything that God has given to us in abundance, we want to share and honor the Lord with that. Certainly in the Old Testament, they talked about 10%. It was a practice that was in there. And we are so far past that line. But when he's looking, and just think of what he trusts you with. So I couldn't do what I'm doing today, neither could you, if he didn't give me the breath to do it, if he didn't give me the capacity to do it, if he didn't give me the desire to do it. Everything that you have, I have, is from him. But there's something about our nature, there's something about our human nature, our fleshly nature, there's something about it that we just really want to control, be stingy. And there's something, he knows it, he made it up. I mean, he made us, he knows us. And he's saying, I have a way that I can set you free from that. And to realize that what you have, you receive from me and give a portion, and you watch how I will work in that situation. Trust me. And we're a ministry that trusts God. We don't ring bells and put thermometers up and try to hit goals financially. We just say, however God is leading you. But it's a biblical truth that all of us need to give to the Lord. And there's something about that affects our hearts. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we learn, my wife and I, when we just got saved and before we were ever married, we just were able to read scripture and be encouraged. But we knew from the very beginning that marriage, you know, money or anything that comes in, we're just going to honor God with everything. It's not just what comes in a paycheck, but it's whatever you bring to us. However you bring it, we want to honor you. And we do that as a ministry. And God, through 31 years of a ministry in the style of our ministry, is a testimony to him. It's a testimony to the Lord. He's the one that brings the increase to our lives. So I would encourage anyone struggling with finances, if all I had was a dollar, I'd give a dime or 15 cents. I mean, I'd find some way to honor God with whatever I have, whatever I have. I just want to honor the Lord. I want to recognize he's in control. I want to recognize that everything I have comes from him. Anything that he will trust us with, he'll do that. And it's a great blessing as we trust the Lord with that. Jesus would say, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your bosom, and for the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. And then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food for my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And it's just the truth. It's the biblical truth. And as you do it, it is so exciting to watch what God will do, and just the tremendous blessing. When we have speakers come, our thing always is, how can we bless you? We want to bless you. What does it take? We want to be a blessing to anybody. And for every person that's a part of this church family, we love you. We want to be a blessing. We want to minister to you. We want to help financially when those situations arise. But the scriptures are very clear. Matthew Henry, an old commentary scholar, said, those who do good with what they have shall have more to do more good with it. When we're looking here at verse 9, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So again, as we're following through in chapter 3 of Proverbs, it starts off with my son. It speaks about a relationship. Certainly, God the Father and the Son, a father to a son, certainly parents to their children. But there's this relationship, and God has this relationship. And he says in this relationship, I want you to trust me. It's going to be confusing out there, so don't lean on your own understanding. Just trust me. And we gave an illustration of how that works by putting the cross in front of the word rust, and you get trust. We elaborated on that last week. And then he says, now, don't try to be wise in your own eyes. Trust me. I'll take care of you. The things that you have an open heart. I want to give you more. I want you to be a good steward. And you're a good steward. I will trust you with more if you're a good steward. Just be a good steward. It's your choice. It cannot be something that somebody demands. Nobody. A pastor, a church, or anybody. It's out of your heart. It's what you want to do, how you want to honor the Lord. I don't get involved with the giving of any individuals here. I know the balances that we have after deposits and the stewardship of ministry regarding the finances, but that's between you and the Lord in that, and our financial person for our ministry. He's a good steward in terms of making sure your records are kept and you can receive what you need in that regard, but I don't participate in that. That's not my business. It's between you and the Lord. And be blessed as you trust him. But he's going to correct us. Every one of us need correction. The word of God teaches us to receive encouragement and correction. And notice, and it says, my son. And so it's a very loving thing. And the God the Father, he does correct us as his children. We're his children in this relationship. And he's saying, don't fight it. Allow me to correct it. It's a good thing. And the Hebrews, it gives us some instruction on that. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but it's painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So any good coach is going to exercise discipline on the field. He may have everybody back on the line running wind sprints for an extra half hour afterwards until we get it together, until we break rotten attitudes. We're just going to do this. And that's discipline. Parents, you have the responsibility when your children are young to correct them and discipline. don't say, I'm going to punish you. You're going to correct and discipline. There's a big difference in that. Be biblically correct. And correction is important at a young age, especially. And that would include spankings if necessary. And I know that just throws red flags up all around, but it's biblical. If it's done right, the way that God wants it to. I know there's abuse and all kinds of things that have taken place, but what we're living with is the result of having brokenness in homes, not having a husband or a dad there to lovingly care for and instruct the children and to correct in ways that are most effective for each child. Every child is different. Everyone has a different personality. Some can just take a certain stare and a look and they know they're in trouble and the problem is solved. It just depends on each child. But the correction is necessary and the correction is really helpful. I remember my oldest daughter one time, she brought a wooden spoon to me and said, Daddy, I need a pankin. And I had no idea why she needed a pankin, but, you know, she was feeling guilty about something, had no idea, and just a little tap, you know, on her wrist. She cries, and she felt great. She's like, she's really happy. And when we realize God corrects us, it's a burden we carry. He's correcting us because of sin. We're rebelling from him about something, and we're carrying it. And he's wanting to free us from it. He's wanting us to confess it. He's wanting us to come before him and be broken before him. But our hard hearts refuse that. So he'll allow a situation to happen so that he brings us to that point of correction, of saying, God, I'm so sorry. And it's a good thing. And you feel peaceable after that. He's like, God, thank you. You did love me. You care for me. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are they who retain her. The Lord by wisdom found the earth, and understanding he established the heavens, and by the knowledge the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. So verses 13 through 18, he is rejoicing. He's saying, God, he loves you and he wants you to have this wisdom. And when you have the wisdom of God, it is more valuable than anything you can possess in this world. And so they give things that are enjoyable. I mean, you could have riches and gold and silver and rubies. You can have all these things. But if you don't have the Lord, if you don't have his wisdom, you're empty inside. God's not against possessions by any means. Some of his key leaders in this world, I mean, Abraham and David and others were greatly blessed by God. Greatly blessed. It's not a prohibition on possessions. It's how we use them. Do what you possess you? If they do, then there's a problem. But if you're a stewardship over them, and it's like, however you want to work this, Lord. And so he's telling us that our pursuit of this wisdom is so important. And he's telling us now, this wisdom that he wants to give to us, if you think for a moment in verse 19 and 20, he illustrates and he says, now this wisdom from God, it was the wisdom of God that made everything. So when we look at the creation and everything that's made, it's from the wisdom of God. And he's saying the wisdom that God has to make everything. He wants to give you this wisdom. He's going to correct you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to help you manage and be good steward over what you have. He wants to bless you more. He's just training you to be a good steward because he wants to trust you with more stuff because you're a vessel that he can trust. He's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't just come to me. I got it figured out. Our speaker on Sunday, we had some chance to have some personal time because between the morning and the evening session. And I was saying to him, because he was showing astronomy and the earth and the moon and the sun and the galaxies and all that. But a personal question I had for him is, currently there's a lot of conversation out there because he showed pictures of a moon landing of where things were at, if you remember that, some evidence. And I says, there's people that do not believe there ever was a moon landing. Obviously, that's not news to him. He's aware of all that. But I says, how do you answer? How would I answer somebody like that? So again, I'm appealing to somebody that's a specialty, especially astronomy and the planets. And in this controversial area, which is, it's not a controversy to me, but I like to be able to give a good answer because it's out there. I mean, it's out there. I have run into that conversation in the last 2 weeks with somebody I've been trying to share with. So I'm looking for wisdom, the wisdom that God used to create. And I, as a pastor, am looking for an answer. I want wisdom. And it took him less than 1 minute to satisfy my heart. He said, Pastor, when we landed on the moon, we did not have the technology at that time to fake a landing, because we have the technology today, but we didn't have the technology at that time to fake it. It's just like, how come I never thought of that? But it's just a simple answer, right? I mean, perhaps somebody will get a hold of us and want to debate it more, but that satisfied me. It's just like, well, I remember. It's black and white. I was in a park when they landed on the moon. I heard it on the radio and we saw it. But there was, he just said, Pastor, we didn't have technology to fake it. We could fake it today just real fine, but not back then. So that's wisdom, right? I mean, that's God that made everything. And you're looking to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you with gentleness and fear. In verse 21, my son, again, relationship. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then when you walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down and your sleep will be sweet, and do not be afraid of sudden terror nor trouble from the wicked when it comes. When it comes, it's coming, it's here. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And how these verses fit so well in your life and my life over these last few years is that the fear came. The purpose was to create fear amongst people. We knew that from the beginning. I wrote 2 pages of scriptures, Fear Not. Because in the very beginning, it was clear that fear is being downloaded to our nation and to churches. And you know, I still have a letter from the governor wanting churches to be his spokesman to carry out his agenda. It's just like, yeah, right. I mean, what happened to separation of church and state? It goes both ways. It's not a one-way road. But in that time period, he's saying in verse 21, my son, so he's the father. He's in a relationship with us. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. He wants to help us. Now don't depart. Keep it. Keep sound wisdom. In other words, keep in the word. Spend more time in the word than on social media. You got to weigh it in. In the scales, how much time do you spend on social media? How much time do you spend on the word? Whatever you spend the more time on, that's what will influence you. That's what will, and there's just no way around it. Whatever you feed the most, that's what's going to happen. So if I feed my spirit, then my spirit is going to be strong. If I feed my flesh or my curiosity, I'm going to be weak spiritually. It's just the way that it is. So going back to the scriptures, he's saying, now you got to keep sound in this. I mean, there's a purposefulness in that. And they'll have life for your soul and grace to your neck. And then when you walk safely in your way, your foot won't stumble, because there are obstacles that people want to see you fail. Okay, if you haven't noticed. And the more that you want to represent the Lord or go the Lord's way, people would delight in your failure. And I'm grateful that we don't promote pastors or people. We exalt Jesus, and we come humbly and say, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. It's never been about me or us. It's about you. But he's saying, when this can happen, in verse 24, and this is important, because we need rest, physical rest. And he says, when this is happening, when the wisdom of God is filling your heart, you're going to be able to get a good night's sleep, because there is fearful things. Verse 25, don't be afraid of the sudden terror, nor the trouble from the wicked when it comes. So we're living in very heightened wicked times. So whether it's storms crashing into the coast or whatever, that's terrible and terrifying circumstances and situations. But is it going to be dictating panic? Or are we going to say, God, lead us? Because it says in 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So he's saying to us tonight that he wants to lead us. When we don't lead on our own understanding, when we trust him, there's not self-confidence or self-promotion. We're not wise in our own eyes. God, you are speaking. You're helping me. Your word is ministering to me. So the storms of life are coming upon us, and our life, it's built on the rock and not the sand. And we're not swept by every wind of doctrine that comes down. And our confidence is in the Lord. And because of that, our feet are on solid ground. And then finally, in verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's your power of your hand to do so. So be mindful of how God wants to use you. Again, getting back, if we have developed in our hearts a generous spirit, and that's a work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the prayer, is that we would be generous in our hearts, generous with the time that God has given to us. Time, talent, and treasure are all from him. And we want to be generous with our time. And that's that, you know, a lot of times people would rather give a few bucks than give time. Be careful. God wants everything from us. And it is a time where living for the Lord is not convenient. It's hard. We're dealing with, yes, exhaustion and fatigue, but God can be that strength to us. You know, when you go through the preparation for a big week and you carry through the week and you have prayer, you got youth over on Tuesday night, you got a prayer, you know, thing Wednesday, and you know, continue to move on. But it's by God's strength, and people participate, they help, they get on board, they see, yes, this is it. And so I would say that the body of Christ, I believe the body of Christ really has to consider the stewardship of time to the building up and equipping of the body of Christ, helping with children, helping in the, there's just various ways to help and serve. And it's not like, you know, you're making this major commitment. I always say, look at the next little incremental commitment that you can make. It might be, hey, once a month I can do this or whatever, but whatever it is, I'm cultivating in my heart. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. At the same time, working on an outreach with 10 other churches, and you know, I'm not promoting like, hey, I'm this busy guy doing this. I'm just saying, when you give to the Lord your life, it's all his. And you got to say, how do you want me to use it? And it's a sacrifice for you and for families and for others, but you know, you get to the end, and if you do a number of hospital visitations, nursing home visitations, and memorials, I believe that most of the people wish that they would have had the opportunity to do more for the Lord. And so that there's a window of time. And I'm not creating urgency or panic or whatever else. I'm just taking God's word as he's revealing it to us today. In verse 27, hey, don't withhold good from those whom it is due. So I have to be aware. So, and you as well. So here's your schedule. And it's tight. And you've got things like that. But can it be interrupted? Can your schedule be interrupted by God? I mean, there's some things that you say, I'll get back to you in a couple of days. I mean, that's just the deal. But does the Lord have the ability to interrupt your schedule for 15 minutes during the day or 20 or can he do that? Or it's like, no, I can't do that. I want to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to be able to be flexible if God would want me to be used by him in an important way. Do not, verse 28, say to your neighbor, go back, go and come back tomorrow, and I'll give it to you when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. You know, the scripture says, love your neighbor and love your enemy. For some people, your neighbor is your enemy. We have great neighbors, but what he's saying, again, in the Word of God, he's helping us as we're just going through the Proverbs and just seeing, hey, what's on the plate for us tonight? And he's saying, your faith is lived out right where you live. And we're living at a different time. Many of us aren't really that acquainted with our neighbors as we were when we grew up or a number of years ago. It's just different. But hey, do you need my drill? Do you need this? Yeah, great. And if you borrow someone's drill, give it back to them. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. And I know he's just giving us wisdom. He's saying, why are you retaliating against your neighbor? For he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without a cause if it's done nothing to harm you. Years ago, we were renting a house. I've shared this before. We rented, I don't know, how many, 14 different places or something like that, but in this other location outside of here. And I remember coming home on Saturday and excited about the message for Sunday, but there's no fences and stuff where we're at. And the neighbor, he's a great guy. He mowed his yard, and his yard looked great. And mine looked not very good because his looked great. My wife had dinner ready Saturday late. I says, I'm going to go mow the yard. Don't do that. No, I'm going to because his yard looks good and mine doesn't. And I don't know why he had to do it today. And I got worked up. I mean, this is just the flesh. It's the way it is. So I start to mow it, and then I'm mowing by his place and just worked up. Well, he comes out, and he goes, I know you didn't mean to, but your lawnmower, it shot a rock out, and it just shattered our sliding glass doors. And I'm like, oh, no. And he just said, I know you, I mean, you never would want to do anything like that. And I'm thinking, if he only knew. I mean, I was just in my heart. Like, and he was so kind. And so nice. I mean, he just was the nicest guy. And God just, that's where the correction, the chastising comes in. He goes, you think you had a message for Sunday? Yeah, I gave you a message, but you don't have a heart for that message. You have a terrible heart. You have a rotten heart. So now it's going to cost you some money and time. You got to help take the glass down. You got to help put up the board. You got to help with insurance. How's that going, Big Shot? Pretty good? But I'm just saying, when you go through this and you read this, why would I want to devise? Well, man, it's in my heart, God. Yeah, it's in your heart. So we're going to go back 8. We're doing a little chastising here tonight. Now finish it up with me, verse 31. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. So the Holy Spirit and the Word of God wants to speak to us. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. So he's telling us, get your house in order. You know, have good leadership in your home. Have good stewardship. Know God's way in your home. And he has a blessing. We talked about this, the blessing of God. He blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. And so many of you, probably all of you, you have been very humble people and very encouraging. The wise shall inherit glory, but the shame shall be the legacy of fools. What we want to do is in all things glorify the Lord. Amen. One final song at this time. Let's stand for prayer. As you're standing, I'd like to just pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your wonderful patience with us, your love for us. Thank you for treating us as sons and daughters. Thank you that you have given us a relationship. As many as received you, to them you gave the right to become children of God. And we thank you for that relationship we have with you. Thank you for helping us understand. God, we're living in difficult days, and it's easy to get just so worked up and overwhelmed. I understand that. I've experienced that, and I need to go back to Proverbs and say, I need to just trust in you. I need to lay it down. I need not to try to find an answer. I need to find you, and I need to find your wisdom. Thank you for all that you've given to this ministry, to our lives, and to each individual in here. Thank you for showing us how to go about representing you in practical ways. Show us how to love our neighbors, those in our community, and others, whether it's just a simple little thing, a simple carrying someone's groceries to the car, just a simple things that really represent and reflect that we belong to you. Help us, show us, Lord. Help us with the wisdom we need to understand the day and time we're in. Help us, Lord, too, as a church and as individuals. We know that this darkness is prevailing, and the dark, sinister decisions government leaders have made in the past just stir us and awaken us and alert us, and let us seek your wisdom like never before to see clearly. And for any, Lord, that have yet to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, in just one sentence, you and I are both sinners. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God in his great love left heaven, came to earth. He became our sin bearer. What that means, he took your sin and my sin on himself. God judged him for your sin and my sin. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and he's alive at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And he's offering salvation. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. He saves us, he sustains us, and he'll take us home to be with him. And you ask for his forgiveness, and you accept this free gift of eternal life. Strengthen our fellowship and the bonds of love. Heal those that are really just hurting, difficult things going through, facing circumstances health-wise. We pray for your healing, God, upon our brothers and sisters. We pray, God, that you'd be our strength through the next few days. You'd bring us back together Sunday, hungering for your word, to worship you, have communion together. In Jesus' name, amen.